Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to the Aging in Place podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Debbie Lines. I am here today with Parrish Neville and with Missy Santorum, Director of Marketing and Public Relations Director from Palmetto Electric Cooperative. Thank you both for joining us so much. I'm really excited to talk to you. This is like a panel discussion on energy. It's everything good. You know, Missy, when we were talking about doing this segment, I think I was really curious because we are here in Hilton Head, South Carolina. You are a cooperative. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know a little bit about the history of Palmetto Electric Cooperative.
Well, I'll tell you, in 2015, Palmetto Electric celebrated 75 years of service to the Lowcountry, Debbie.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was very exciting for us to celebrate that. Co-ops, we have 20 in the state of South Carolina. Our service area for Palmetto Electric is all the way down Hilton Head Island. We serve the whole island. And then up through the 278 corridor into Jasper and Hampton County. So it's about a 60-mile service area.
Can I ask a broad spectrum question? And Parrish, if you want to go with this, and that is, what is a cooperative?
Electric utility cooperative is designed to serve the people that it serves. So we provide electric service to our members. So you're not just a customer. You receive electric service from us, but our whole job is to provide you that energy.
Well, we're not turning a profit. Let's put it that way. We're not an investor owned. So when you are a member of Palmetto Electric, you're an owner. You're an owner of the company.
What's our history? Tell me how this evolved.
So in 1940, President Roosevelt decided that rural America needed to be electrified. We, of course, the investor-owned would electrify the cities, the municipalities, but the rural areas of our country were not electrified. Well, our service area, including Hilton Head Island, was very rural. No bridge to the island. When I look back at the minutes, there were about 83 petitions of people who lived here on Hilton Head Island who would like to have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So the investor-owned decided it wasn't worth, they couldn't turn that profit. So they were not going to come serve it. So the Palmetto Electric Board back in the day got together, decided they would do it. They barged the poles over. And here's a funny side note. They barged the poles over at low tide.
Barge the poles at low tide.
Low tide and put them on the side, okay? Right back there near the Calabogie Sound. Mm-hmm. Went off to lunch. They came back, high tide, and the poles were floating in the sound, and they had to go out and retrieve the poles.
Whoops.
We even got pictures of the barge with the poles, so it's really unique. We've got a great history of Palmetto Electric. And that was in 1950, though, when they came over to serve.
When they came here.
Yes, ma'am, 1950. So in the 40s, we were serving Hampton County, Jasper County. And as you know, our counties are at the bottom of South Carolina. The state's like an ice cream cone, so it's the bottom of the cone.
So now, how many members do you have?
We have around 75,000.
Oh my gosh. Well, one of the things we're excited about talking, and Parrish, this is where you come in, is some of the programs that you have, what you're proud of. And then I've got just some generic basic questions that people have actually asked us to ask you, so I think that's kind of fun. Let's talk about some programs.
Okay, well, we have a lot of different programs we've developed over the years, but the main thing to remember is that we're a distribution electric co-op. We don't generate electric power.
So what does that mean, a distribution electric co-op?
We buy power from power suppliers and then distribute it to all of our members.
So what kind of power are we buying?
Well, it's a whole mix, the whole gamut. Traditionally, power is generated by coal. A lot of it's generated by gas and oil and hydro and nuclear. So there's solar, and of course now is in the mix too. So all different types of power.
It's fun to talk to you about it because you take that for granted as you're listing off six sources of power that, and I consider myself a fairly educated consumer. I had no idea. So solar, hydro, coal,
gas.
Nuclear, gas, and what did I forget? Were there six? No, I think I got them all, actually.
Oil.
Okay, oil. Yeah, there you diesel. Go. Thank you from the peanut gallery. We love that, too.
Yeah. So there's lots of different ways that we power producers create power. But then it's just transported to us through the transmission lines, and then we distribute it out through the smaller lines through the neighborhoods and the businesses. So the important thing, though, is how much it costs to all of us. That's always the bottom line, is how much it costs. So the costs are determined primarily by 1 hour each month. So, and it's that peak hour, the hour that we use the most. And during that hour, if we can encourage our members to use less, it saves all of us money.
All right, Missy, explain that. What does that mean, the peak hour and beat the peak? Is that what you were saying?
Right. We have a program, Beat the Peak. So it varies. It's all weather driven. It's dependent on, like, for the winter, Palmetto Electric actually is a winter peaking co-op, believe it or not, because of our heat pumps are very efficient in the hot, humid weather. And we have a lot of glass, the way we've built our homes here. So it really depends. So in the winter, the peak might be in the morning. And in the summer, it's going to be in the hot afternoons.
Okay, so when you're talking about peak, that's when the most energy is used. And what you're asking us to do, Parrish, is
turn that hour when we are anticipating a peak to reduce your usage some. You know, not totally stop using energy, but maybe you can avoid doing some things, put them off till other hours. Maybe you can change your temperature on your thermostat a couple of degrees. That all can help towards reducing the demand for us.
Can I ask a very naive question? What are some of the things, is that include my dishwasher, washer? What are some of the things that I wouldn't even think about?
Your clothes washing, dishwashing, maybe not using some hot water, showering later than now. So all those things can add up. Your air conditioning is probably the big one. So adjusting the temperature just 2 or 3 degrees can help us out.
Is there a temperature range that is pretty much ideal for you all and for the health and wellness of a family, whether they're seniors or young kids or middle-aged like me?
Well, for the health and wellness, I wouldn't know exactly what that number is, but generally speaking, around 75 degrees is adequate for most people. Mm-hmm. For energy purposes, we recommend in the summertime that you keep your thermostat on 78.
Okay.
And in the winter on 68.
Oh, okay, 78 and 68. My husband and I talk all the time because I tend to be a thermostat, boop, 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 boop. And he said, mm-mm. Set it, and he keeps telling me, set it and forget it. Or I think you might have told me that, Missy.
No, I think that sounds good.
Why is that so important?
Well, one reason why, in our area, we use electric heat pumps.
Okay.
And in the winter, when the heat is running, the heat pump can provide heat two ways. From the heat pump, which is very efficient. It's just the reverse of an air conditioner. So it's very efficient. But it can also provide heat through auxiliary strip heaters. The auxiliary heaters are a backup to the heat pump in extreme weather. But if you adjust the temperature more than 2 or 3 degrees at a time, you may artificially cause the strip heat to cycle on, and then you're going to use about 3 times as much energy as you
want. Yeah, think about your meter running double time when you're strip heat.
Oh my goodness. I didn't realize it was that significant. See, this is why we need to talk to you guys, because I think, you don't know what you don't know. And I think this is really educational. That's sort of the point of the whole podcast, is to get some of this information out and disseminate. It really is. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about a lot more programs that you all have. Stay with us here on Aging in Place Podcast. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lions on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at lionsondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on the Aging in Place podcast. We're talking with Palmetto Electric Cooperative. We have Parrish Neville. We have Missy Santorum. Again, it's super interesting. Who knew this would be so interesting and educational and practical? I think that's the best part of the whole discussion. You've got a couple of programs that you want to make sure we talk about. But before we do, you actually came to my house about a year ago, and it was really exciting. And you did what's called a...
energy audit.
What is an energy audit?
Well, it was an evaluation of your home to see if we could find ways to help you save energy or maybe change some of your operational practices that would improve
your, which is your code for check and see how well you were doing with your efficiency. It was amazing. Can other people ask for this or request it?
Absolutely. And this is a great way to hold down the cost on your bill. And you can't believe it. I mean, you can insulate, you know, you can use foam, you can do change out your windows. What were things you found, Parrish, that Debbie needed?
At your house, I think we found some insulation issues up in your attic. I think we also found some problems with your ductwork.
Exactly.
I remember going in that front closet.
I do too. It's not a pretty picture.
Some duct issues there where you were leaking air.
So what are you looking for? When you take a walk, what areas do you go to and what are you looking for in those specific areas?
Well, the heating and cooling is usually more than 50% of your cost.
Got it.
So that's things that relate to heating and cooling are what we're looking for primarily. Then we look at other things like water heating, things that maybe have pumps or motors that are running continuous, swimming pools, or if you've got lots of lighting or some other special equipment that might have pumps or motors, some really big houses might have a wine cellar or something like that with refrigeration, a lot of extra refrigeration.
I actually remember you looking at my thermostat and said, we probably need to change this from 1958. We're not really sure. I do remember this. I'm not sure it's doing what it's supposed to do.
I noticed you had a new one.
I did. I'm very proud of myself. But you were talking about a new thermostat program.
We have a smart thermostat program, which is really exciting. And I know Parrish is working a lot with the HVAC. To, you know, all of the contractors out here to come in and talk to our members about this and tell them a little bit about what the incentives in the program.
Sure. Our program is really, again, designed to help us lower our demand during that peak hour. And so in order to do that, we want to lower the temperature a little bit during those peak hours. So we have a program designed with smart thermostats. So when it's installed, we'll be able to adjust that thermostat with your permission. We can adjust it for you during the peak times.
You can do that.
Yeah, we do.
Because
that
if I'm working
through the manufacturer,
they control.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing.
But you do something else to make it a little more comfortable before you do that.
Yeah. So, you know, part of our incentive includes the thermostat and the installation.
Oh.
But we also
should have waited a year.
We give you a monthly incentive of $5, but you have an option to participate or not to participate. You can opt out of the program if you need to.
But oh my gosh!
Hope you won't.
For instance, if you had company come over and it was a time to control and it was just a little warm, you could opt out at that moment and change it back to what you need, so you could be comfortable. But Parrish, there is a time where you, like for instance, if it's the summer, you're going to cool it.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
We're going to, before we go into one of these peak periods, say in the summer, we're going to pre-cool your house a little bit so that you don't notice that we're adjusting the temperature down. So ahead of time, we'll cool the house off a couple of degrees. And then when we go into control, we'll reduce it a little bit.
You know, because we're talking about aging in place at any stage in life, I think that would be such a godsend for a lot of people where they just wouldn't have to deal with it. You know, and I know my dad's 91. If he just knew someone, again, where you all were going to set it and forget it, it would be a whole lot easier. I know, do you have a water heater program? Talk to me, if you will, a little bit about that.
Well, the water heater program has been around a long time. It was our first program that really involved reducing demand during those peak hours. Water heaters like a battery. We can heat the water in there and then turn the water heater off, and you still have hot water for hours later. Matter of fact, sometimes if your water heater is a newer model that's well insulated. It might stay hot for a couple of days if you don't use it all.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so when we have a big demand for energy, we just cycle your heater off. We've got a large tank of water ready to use. You'll still have adequate hot water, but it comes off of our peak time and saves all of us money.
Okay, so here's my question. I am an older adult, or I'm a first-time homeowner, and I need a water heater. Do you actually provide the water heaters? How does all this work with my contractor or my architect?
Well, we can do it two ways. We have a program where we can give you an incentive, a rebate, to get the right size water heater in, or we'll do everything for you. We'll provide the heater.
See, there again.
Get somebody to install it, mm-hmm. and then we spread the cost out for you over 5 years so it doesn't cost that much up front.
Oh, once again, I mean, talk about easy ways to save.
Very easy, and it just goes right on the bill.
I mean, that makes so much sense to me. Mm-hmm. Another program. This is fun. We could talk about these all day. I want to know what a CHAMP program is. Missy's like mouthing over here. She's a CHAMP program. I'm like, ooh.
Well, the CHAMP is not one of the load control programs. It's a service program we started off for many years ago, and it's just been updated recently. The CHAMP program is appliance repair service at a reasonable, affordable cost. You pay a small amount added to your bill each month, and then we cover appliances and other utilities in your home.
Okay, help me understand what that means.
So if your refrigerator stopped working, you just have one phone number to call. There'd be a small trip charge, and then the cost of repairing the item would be covered.
How do I get to be a CHAMP of the program?
You just have to sign up with us.
You just give us a call. We'll sign you right up.
Do people take advantage of these?
They do. Mm-hmm. We do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I tell you, it's like you need your own show.
Well, we're just so happy to be here with you, Debbie, to get the word out.
Well, because there's so much.
Well, and a lot of times, if you're a new homeowner and you've got new appliances and all, you're not going to need it. But about 5 years down the road, and that happens before you know it, all of a sudden it's like, oops, okay, now this is out, or the ice maker's out, or the, you know, something's got to be tweaked or not working. And it is so easy to make that one call.
I'm so impressed. It really, so all I really need to do, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, in addition to the appliances, our new plans have coverage for the electric lines inside your house, so the switches and the breakers, mm-hmm. as well as the water faucets and water lines in the house, water breakage in the line.
Well, I'm kind of a keep it simple girl. And again, as I get older, it is much more difficult for me, to be honest with you, to keep track of everything and to know that I had one call to be able to manage all of that. It would be priceless, quite frankly.
And it's appliances and HVAC.
Now say that again.
Your appliances, like your range, you know, your dishwasher, refrigerator, washer, dryer,
your heating and air system, you know, your water heater, all those can be covered under the CHAMP plan.
So let's assume that you come in and my speed queen, it can take up to 10 grandchildren's beach towels, dies after 7 years. So then what happens then? Can you help me repurchase or?
Well, if you're under the plan and your item fails and can't be repaired, there's a
vendor
claim,
list.
There's a claim list. I mean, there's a limit to how much claims you may have made during that year. And if you hadn't exceeded that, you can actually get a nice size check to help you go purchase a new
residual to help you purchase.
Because I'm paying attention, I'm saving energy, and I'm working for the good of the whole community.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the program. Yeah.
Pretty amazing. We're going to take another quick break, although I don't really want to because we're kind of on a roll here. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some other programs. I'd like to ask about renewable energy, talk a little bit about that, and solar energy, some of the cool things you've got going on. Stay with us here on Aging in Place podcast.
Hi, I'm Henrik, the producer of Aging in Place podcast. If you'd like more information and transcripts of this podcast, visit agingInPlacePodcast.com. And now, back to Debbie Lyons with the next segment of Aging in Place Podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on the Aging in Place Podcast. Once again, we are with Parish. We are with Missy, and we were going to talk about renewable energy, but really first we wanted to talk a little bit about solar energy, which is really interesting.
Right. Solar, and also we have a surge guard
program. That's the one. That's what we want to hear
about.
Well,
let me tell you, you know, in the summer here on Hilton Head Island, you've got this unbelievable hot, humid day, and then about 4 or 5 o'clock, what happens? The clouds roll in, and
yes,
we have a big thunderstorm. So, and because we're an island surrounded by water, we're very susceptible to lightning. So, Parrish is going to tell us a little bit about this surge guard program because it is fabulous, and we have a lot of our members on it.
Yes, surge protection is what I try to tell people is like a seatbelt for your house. Surge protection is going to help keep you safe, just like a seatbelt would, but you can still be injured just like with a seatbelt in
certain
wrecks. And so that's the way you got to think about surge protection. It's a smart thing to do. It's not very expensive, and it may save you a lot.
What does it look like? What does that even mean?
Well, a power surge can come from a lot of different things. Lightning is the most devastating thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when lightning or other things disturb the power lines, you can have a sudden spike in the electrical voltage,
which is bad for my computer, bad for everything.
Yeah. And there are other ways it can come into your house. It not only through, you know, the power line, but also through your irrigation, through your cable. Think about all the things that are plugged in, you know, with your television and other ways. So we have two steps in this program.
Yeah, there's surge protection we can put on the outside on the primary electric line. So at the meter, we can put some surge protection there, and that stops the big stuff from coming down the power line. We have other surge protection we can put on some of those other lines coming into your house, like the phone or the cable or the internet line. But the other step that's important is to have point of use protection for those most vulnerable electronics, your televisions, computers, and that type of equipment. You can put a surge protector right where it plugs in and protect both the electric side there as well as those data lines that are coming into your equipment.
And I'm going to go back really quickly to how do people find out about these programs? I'm assuming the website has all of these.
Website, and we are big with social media.
Okay.
Palmetto.co-op.
I went on Facebook, your Facebook.
I will tell you, social media became a thing at Palmetto Electric after Hurricane Matthew in 2016. And that's a fabulous way that we communicate with our members. We get the word out. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Palmetto.coop's the website. So, yes, we have all of that information out there.
Very interesting. Talk to me, if you will, now a little bit about the kind of energy, about renewable energy, also about solar energy.
Well, Palmetto Electric has available to our members a net metering rate. So if you decide to put rooftop solar on your house, you can sell back the amount of energy up to the point that you consume during the year.
He's so going to have to say that again in real words.
Okay. So you can, when you put a solar panel system in, you generate, your house uses part of that energy, but sometimes you produce more energy than you need.
Oh.
And so that energy can be sold back, if you will,
that's a good
to the
thing.
Co-op.
Okay.
Now, you won't get a check from us. You can just sell back
what you used.
Yeah. Well, you'll get to sell back what you used. So you can net out to zero during the year. That's good. A lot of utilities offer net metering, but not everybody does.
Are you finding that people are taking advantage of putting solar panels up? Is it difficult to do? Is that something that you help us do?
It's very expensive.
Okay, so on the front side, it's expensive.
It's very expensive, and it's not for everybody, for sure. And frankly, with our co-op, we have very affordable power.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily economically beneficial.
Feasible here. And, you know, we were talking about, yes, we're in Hilton Head, South Carolina, but we go nationally. And so a lot of the information we're providing may feel local. But I think, again, you don't know what you don't know. Some of these,
in some places in the country, the cost of power is very expensive. And so their solar may be a very good fit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are things to consider when you going to put a rooftop solar on. You have to, first of all, not have any shade. So you don't need any trees in your yard. One shadow will stop the production of solar across the whole panel. you need to remember that there is maintenance that's involved.
Okay.
So this panels have to, in our area, we have lots of pollen every year.
Oh yeah, good point. I never thought about that. The heck with shade, it's about pollen.
Yeah, so they've got to be cleaned. Mm-hmm. We have lots of trees in our area here, so we have lots of squirrels. Squirrels can damage solar panels. I know you've probably had some eat some irrigation lines and different things in your yard. So they can cause damage.
They're like family now, the squirrels.
Mm-hmm. Missy mentioned the hurricane we had. That damages, of course, can damage everything. The system. So you want to make sure that you've got insurance to cover these.
And every now and then we have hail. Can you imagine what hail's going to do to us?
Yeah, I never even thought about that. So it is a wonderful source of power, but it comes with an inherent set of...
Yeah.
And you have to have sun.
Yeah.
So there are places in our country, in the United States, that we don't get a lot of sun, and really humidity's not great either.
And one important thing about the hurricane, a lot of people thought that they were going to have power when the power was out because of the hurricane.
Yeah, I would if I had solar power.
Not true. When if you don't have power to your house, solar panels will not work. That's the way they're designed for safety.
Oops. See, you learn something every day. What is renewable energy?
Well, solar would be
It is. And also we have landfills in our area that produce methane gas that is part of renewable energy.
It's funny because you guys all know what that means, and I've heard the term, but I think there are a lot of people who really don't know what it is.
Well, it would include solar production, like Missy said, from generating power from landfill gas. If you had water, hydro power, there's a couple of other sources, wind. Those are all examples of renewable power.
When you buy power, and you said hydro is one that you do buy. Special kinds of power go to different places, or is it all accumulated and then just dispersed? I don't know if that sounds like a naive question or
the heard of the grid.
Yeah,
just think of it like a big bucket.
Okay.
Everybody's dumping something in the bucket, and everybody's taking stuff out of the bucket. So that's the way it is, more or less.
What are some of the most asked questions about Palmetto Electric or about things that you do?
Well, one thing that we do that's fabulous, it really gives back to the community, is Operation Roundup. And we are celebrating 30 years
this month. So what is that?
That's where our members, in 1989, our president CEO came up with the idea where you round your bill up to the next dollar. And literally it's about $6 a customer a year averages. And we are now at $7.8 million that we've collected in 30 years, and we give back to the community, to organizations and individuals in need.
Wow.
And we've allowed other co-ops in the country to adopt it, so over 300 have done that. Mm-hmm. And now we even have some local businesses that have picked up on that idea. You'll hear them say, would you like to round up to the next dollar to give to this charity or that?
Do you all have conferences that you go to where you actually go and collaborate, idea swap, hear what's new, what's trending, what the future is holding for
Absolutely. Us. Absolutely. We do. Marketing, we have national conferences, key accounts.
What are some concerns, or what are some things you're really excited about?
Well, concerns, of course, we're always trying to stay on top of technology. We're trying to be efficient. And so just like the way we market it and send out our public relations. People are like, well, you're member owned. Why do you advertise? Because we have these programs and services that benefit our members, and we want them to know about it.
I really appreciate you all coming today. I think it's been extremely helpful, very, very educational. We'd love to give you the opportunity to share a little bit about how we can connect with you all.
Okay, through palmetto.coop is the website. We have Palmetto Electric Cooperative. We are in, like I said, Hardeeville, Ridgeland, Hampton, Hilton Head Island, Bluffton, South Carolina. The website is palmetto.coop. That's palmetto.coop. The 1-800 number is 1-800-922-5551.
That makes so much sense, and they are extremely user-friendly, so don't hesitate. Thank you both so much for joining us here on Aging in Place. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative, And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Who's sitting on the remote? We've reached the age where everything has a remote, and usually the universal remote is not the answer to our problem. Right now, I have 4 remotes on my coffee table because that universal just isn't working in my world. The grandchildren come to visit, it ends up being just one remote on the table, and it's not that one. Elderly persons with a table completely full of today's necessities will also appreciate this who knew. To eliminate the current coffee table shuffle of controllers, take Velcro with the self-sticky tape and put it around the edge of the table on the side that faces the couches or their favorite chair that will be the best. Place a small piece of Velcro on each of your remotes and attach. If your table has an overhang top, the remotes will be hidden out of plain sight. Who knew we would be such a controlling generation?
We are back, and what a fantastic episode with Palmetto Electric Cooperative. Talk about takeaways. I'm sitting here with a friend of mine, and she has 17 takeaways. We decided that we're going to leave you with one, and one that'll be good for all of us. And that is two numbers, 68 and 78. Keep your thermostat set at 78 in the summer and 68 in the winter. And what a great way to save money. We want to thank all of you for joining us here on the Aging in Place podcast. Have a wonderful week.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.